Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you today, and welcome to Youth Sunday. I told the youth as we were going into filming that, I said, if I ever get disciplined at work because of a clip that I make, it's probably going to be this one, which deserved a PG-13 rating. But I did get that hand at the dollar store, so I thought it couldn't be that convincing to hopefully not gross anybody out too much. I apologize if your stomach turned a little bit this morning. Well, today's message, get your outline out of your program. You say, no, I'm not going to listen to you. You're yelling at me. I'm not yelling. I invite you to get your program out and take out the outline that's therein. All right. We're talking about families at war today. Families at war. That's the title of today's message on this Youth Sunday. And it's all about getting ready in our own households for our upcoming six-week campaign called God's at War. And you've heard about it, and it's been in the prayer letter. Randy has been talking about it. He did a lesson a few weeks ago. Can we get the slide up for that? Because I want you to see that this is, the reason we call it a campaign is because it's more than just a sermon series. Look at this here. It's, for 6 weeks, we're going to be doing this series, God's at War, at the 11 o'clock service, but also our youth ministry is getting involved, our kids ministry is getting involved, and we even have 15 small groups meeting at various places, various times during the week for this six-week period beginning October 13th. I think I said 30th at the last service, so strike that from the record. 13th, that's in two Sundays from now, we're kicking this off. And like the family in that ridiculous clip that I just subjected you to, each of our families is in the middle of a war. And that war is for the throne of our hearts. Because each one of us is serving, worshiping, living for some kind of God. Even if you don't know it, even if you don't know you're doing it, you're living for some kind of God. Whatever you've got on the throne of your heart and whatever is taking the number one position. That God may be the one true God who revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Or it may be any number of things that are fighting for the number one spot in your life, the spot only God himself deserves. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Get your Bible out. It's going to be on the screen, I know, but let's get into our Bibles together when we come together on Sunday, all right? You're going to see a lot of this particular passage. We're just going to look at a small portion today, but you're going to see a lot of it over this God's at War series because it's rooted in the themes that are here. And this is Joshua talking to the Israelites. And you've seen the things we're going to read today, what's highlighted in yellow, I hope you'll help me read it. You've seen it on plaques. You probably have it on a coffee mug or a doormat at your house. We're going to read them together, okay? And then we're going to unpack it a little bit here. So I'll start us off. Help me out at the yellow print. Joshua said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." All right, you committed that. Lesson over. I'm done. No, I'm just... There's more to it than that. Don't go yet. All right, Joshua is standing in the promised land. They've won this huge military campaign. It's taken them years. It took them years to get into the promised land for them to be ready for God to bring them in there. And now Joshua stands up and he looks ahead to the future for himself and his own home and for all of Israel. And he remembers God's faithfulness to them thus far in this speech that he's giving. We didn't have time to look at all of it. But he challenges all the people, all the households of people, to serve the Lord. And he commits to do so himself and to teach and lead his family in putting God up as number one as opposed to putting any other God in the place that only God deserves. And Joshua knew the words, has even read the words of Moses, which were written, they were given to Moses from God, and they were written in Joshua's lifetime in Deuteronomy 11. And I'd like to read some selections from that. You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11 in your Bible. We're going to look at a little bit of this because it applies to why he would say this to the people, to choose God. That's what I'm doing with my household. And he has this to stand on as his reasoning. He says, and help me out with the yellow print again. If you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send, this is God talking, I will send rain on your lands in its season. And he lists some other things, blessings he's going to do. He says, you will eat and be satisfied. And the passage goes on to say, help me out with this. Be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods. Be careful to worship me or you will be enticed to turn away and bow down to them, it says. And continues, then the Lord's anger will burn against you and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain on the ground and yield its produce and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. And then finally, the last thing we're going to look at together today in this passage is this. He says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Teach them to your children. Talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, and he tells them to, you know, post them everywhere. And then he says, so that the days of your children may be many. So look to the future so that the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. So Joshua knows and proclaims that serving God instead of false gods, idols, anything else that would take God's spot in the throne of our heart and lives, he knows that that will protect his family and the nation's future. And so that leads us to our main idea today. The number one thing to remember, and it's this. This is it. Fight false gods for your family's future. Sorry about all the F words today. Fight false gods for your family's future. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about how we can do this, the strategy for fighting false gods for your family's future. But first, I want you to take a couple of moments to dream with me. That first list on your outline, we're going to be talking about why it's worth it, why it is absolutely worth it to put God in his rightful place as your God on the throne of your life. Why we should follow Josh's example from Scripture. I call these the top five spoils of war. This is what we're fighting for. These are the things that can come about when we do this faithfully. And the first one, by the way, I'm going to count down. So we're starting at the bottom of the top five and going to the very most important at the top. So let's start with number five today, and that is that addictions are broken. When God is on the throne of your life, addictions are broken. Jesus said to those who put him up as Lord of their lives in John 8:36, he said, and you've heard this and read it and probably have this coffee mug too, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. A false God, as we've been talking about in past lessons, we're certainly going to get into it in this campaign. It's anything that has the top spot in your life, where God belongs. Now, sometimes that can be an otherwise good thing. A hobby, a talent, your job, even your family, your relationships. But if they're taking up God's spot at the top of your priority list, well, then they need to move. There are other false gods, other idols that are inherently evil, all right? Like a drug addiction or really any kind of addiction. And so if you are wrestling with something, some type of addiction in your life, this habit that you just can't break, or somebody in your household, and you know it and you want to break it, but it's so hard, it's so difficult, it seems like year after year you're struggling with this thing, I have good news for you. If when you put Jesus on the throne of your heart, of your life, of your mind, he has the power to break that addiction, to end it for you. When you're following him as Lord of your life, you are getting supernatural power from God himself to beat that in your life. I don't care if it's to illegal substance, to food, to pornography, to Netflix, whatever it is that you just, you know, this needs to break. Jesus has the power to do that in your life. And when he's on the throne, you will see addictions broken in your life and in your house. All right, well, that's the top, or the number five on the list. Let's move up the list now and look at number four on your list of the top five spoils of war when we fight for our family's future. Number four, the quality of life is improved. Just like that passage in Deuteronomy that we read, when you put God in his place in your household as number one, you get his best for your life, in your home and in your life. Now, I'm not talking about the name it, claim it, power and wealth, all your dreams of money and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's best for your life, what he wants, his top will, his will for your life. Look at Jesus' words in John 10:10. He said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life," talking about his followers, "that they may have life and have it to the full," to have it abundantly. When you follow Jesus, that's what he offers you, is his best, the best you can ever do. Now you say, "Chris, what do you mean by that, if not power and money and good looks and popularity and things like this and never having to deal with bad things like a flat tire or broken washing machine or sickness or disease? What do you mean if you're saying those things might still happen?" And I am saying those things can still happen in your life. Okay, we're in a fallen world. Well, for starters, when God is in the top spot of your life, you're living by the Creator's handbook, the Bible. And so, for starters, there is an improvement to the way things are working for you. Because if you're going by the owner's manual, for example, if you avoid some sins that God warns you about in his Bible, you're also avoiding the hazardous consequences of your bad decisions. So that's one way, but it goes a lot further than that. You see, the false gods, they're offering the abundant life too. They're offering it. They don't have it. That's the claim, all right? They're claiming that you can get that through them, but anything that anything else in the world can offer you, good or bad, is only temporary, and it pales in comparison to what the Creator has. It has an expiration date. Everything else that you could ever imagine that isn't God, as good as it might be, if it isn't God, it isn't God. And so it can't give you the abundant life that Christ can give, which is eternal. Never mind what I was about to say, because I'm getting to that. What Christ offers is eternal, and it is better. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. We're going to look at number three now on your top five list of the spoils of war. If you fight to keep Christ on the throne, fight those false gods away. Number three is that your influence is increased. Your influence, that is the influence that you can have for Christ in this world. If something else is on the throne of your heart right now, even if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'll talk about that, what that means in a bit if that's new to you, but even if that's true, but right now you're living with something else on the throne dictating how you live your life, then Christian, your influence in this world for Christ is being stifled. It's being limited. It's being choked out. According to Titus chapter 2, we don't have time to look through this whole passage together, but we've done it before in the past. I want to show you some things that happen when you start living the way God wants you to live, having him on the throne. Here are some examples. You have a life and a house that's worthy of respect, that gains the respect of others around you, a life that's above reproach. People can't criticize the way you're living when you've got God on the throne. You're doing it right. You speak volumes of truth in the way you live and the way you talk when Christ is on the throne. It changes people's perception, and they perk up their ears to hear the truth that you have to share with them. It attracts people to God. When we live for Christ and people see what that's about, it will attract people. Lift him up on the throne of your heart, and it will draw people toward him through your example and through your own lives. And then finally, it encourages others to grow in Christ. One of the things that has always encouraged me to keep Christ on the throne in our household is when I look at other homes here represented, other families here at the church that are doing it right, and I see that this is the way to live for God. He's number one in their home. That encourages me to do the same thing. And so you're increasing that influence when you've got Christ on the throne. You're increasing your impact that you're having. And then number two on the list of spoils, and then we're pretty close to getting into how to do all of this. Number two is that your family is strengthened. Family is strengthened. Breaking addictions. We're improving the quality of life, living by the owner's manual, following God like he's our boss, because he is. We're increasing our influence in the people around us. And then in the home, we're seeing our relationships with each other strengthened. If you've ever been to a wedding here at Stony, you've probably heard about the love triangle in a marriage between the husband, the wife, and Jesus. And he's at the top, and as the two move toward Christ, they're moving closer to one another. Well, that's true of everybody in the household, too. It's same thing can apply to the kids, that as they grow in the Lord, they're all moving closer and being strengthened together. In Ephesians 5 and 6, we don't have time to read it all, but I've got some references you may take down up there. This is what life looks like when Christ is the head, and you've put him on the throne in your home and in your family. Everyone is serving each other. You're meeting each other's needs, not just looking out for your own. Wives are meeting their husbands' needs, and they're being built up and strengthened. Husbands are meeting their wives' needs. They're being loved and cared for. Kids are contributing to the family in positive ways. They're not driving their parents crazy, okay? The parents, that alone, just put God on the throne to get your kids in line. Well, it doesn't work like that exactly. All right, we'll get to it in the series. And then the last thing that I'll note there is that parents are supporting their kids, encouraging and helping them, not exasperating them, not beating them down. When you've got a Christ-centered home, it's like having oil in the engine. It's everything else works better because you've got the most important thing in its place, Jesus. And finally, the last spoil of war that we're going to look at before we get into taking action, the last spoil of war, the top thing that makes all of this series worth your while, number one is that relationship with God is unhindered. This reason is different than all the other reasons we've talked about up until now. In fact, as great as breaking addiction and improving your quality of life and increasing your influence for Christ and even strengthening your family relationships may be, as important and good as all of those things are, they pale in comparison to this last reason to do this. See, those are all horizontal issues between you and other people, your own addiction, your relationships with others, your influence, your quality of life around you and how things are working. Those are all horizontal, but this one is vertical. This one is between you and the creator of the entire universe and your creator. The other spoils of war, they actually can even become false gods. If pursuing that, the quality of life, for example, can become your false god. Now, you might be trying your best to do it God's way, but if it's for the purpose of we want that quality of life, or influence, having influence in other people, even though certainly you want to influence people for the kingdom, if that becomes number one over your relationship with God and your standing with him, that can even become a god. Isn't that crazy what we can make a god in our lives, a false god? It's crazy. We can make such good things become a false god and take God's spot. You see, the great truth about Jesus reigning in us is that if everything else fails us, even these other things, when the addiction isn't broken, when the quality of life isn't going that great, when my influence seems to be wavering, when there's tension in the family, even if the whole world falls apart around you, if you are right with the creator of the universe, you're going to be okay. you're going to be all right. Even if this world kills you, if you are right with the creator of the universe, if Jesus is on the throne of your life, you're going to be okay. Because you have eternity waiting for you. I'm reminded of, I want to camp out on this for a little bit, more than the others. I'm reminded of this passage in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 6. You could turn there in your Bibles with me. And I'd like to read this. It's a quick little passage, but I love this passage when I'm thinking about why it's so important to have God on the throne in my life, why it's so important. Isaiah 6, verse 1, it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne." Read that with me one more time. "Seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." I think that's great, Chris. What are you getting at? Let me tell you a little bit about King Uzziah, really, really briefly. He was a very accomplished king, and he reigned for 52 years. He built a huge army. He built these machines of war to protect their borders. He finally defeated the Philistines that were always giving the Israelites so much trouble. He fortified the walls of Jerusalem so the city was safe. He developed Judah's agriculture, digging these systems of cisterns all over. And he really brought them up in their economic development and agricultural development. For many years, he was a spiritual leader too. He was heeding the words of his teacher, the prophet Zechariah. Most of what he did was right in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, compared to a lot of the other kings in that time, he was getting way better review. And his fame spread even to Egypt, you know, a superpower in that time. And after Solomon, he's arguably the most powerful king that kingdom had. And this was for 52 years. That's Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, and Obama. That's all those presidents we've gone through. So this is the only king that anybody ever knew for most of the people. It was the only king they ever knew. And there was peace and there was prosperity, and now he's dead. And you can imagine the uncertainty, the nervousness, the fear, the concern that could grip the nation in that moment. But even though King Uzziah wasn't on the throne, Isaiah says, God is. He is. He always is. None of those others, even if none of those other spoils that we talked about, the benefits of doing this series, even if they don't happen in your lifetime, having Christ on the throne of your heart will be enough, no matter what. I'm going to compare it to family, my own family. Family is great, obviously. But when I think about my own family, I realize that as husband and father, I can't even guarantee the well-being or safety of my children for the rest of the day, because I don't control everything, and I don't know everything, and I can't see everything. And I'm going to work my hardest and do my best to protect and love and care for my wife and my kids, but I can't guarantee that. And so, in my opinion, I don't deserve to be number one in their life. Nor do I want to be, but Jesus is capable. He's capable of saving them every minute of every day. And even if they were to die, he's capable of saving them for eternity and ushering them into heaven with him. Jesus said this to us in John 15. It's up on the screen. Now it is. "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Our life comes from him, from here and into eternity. And that's the number one reason to put him up on the throne, and then we will see the wonderful things he has in store in there. Jesus proved his hatred for sin and his love for us by dying on the cross. I talked about trusting in him in the first place. I mentioned that really briefly. Jesus died for us on the cross. He suffered the separation from God in our place so that we can have forgiveness for our sins, so that we can have a renewed relationship with the creator of the universe, so we can have that vertical difference made in our life of being welcomed back into God's presence and His family here on earth and into eternity. He did that. And many of us have probably put Jesus up as Lord of our life. That's how you receive that, by the way, is by putting your trust in Him as your Lord and your Savior. And many of us have done that, but then other things get on the throne. But maybe you're here today and you've never done that in the first place. There's nothing else you can have that's better than Christ. And so I encourage you strongly to put Him up as your Lord and your Savior today. Put Him on the throne in the first place today. You can do that right now. You can say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, I'm guilty, but I do trust in Jesus' payment on the cross, and I do put Him up as Lord of my life. Save me. Save me. You can do that right now. You can come up and talk to me or one of our prayer team after the service. If you need some more information, we are excited to talk to you about that. For those of us that have done it, or if you just did it, this series is about keeping them in that spot and keeping all of the benefit of having a relationship with Christ that is giving you real life. All right. Well, now let's move into the four ways. We're going to close up with the four ways to ferociously fight. I needed some more words in there, some more F words. Four ways to ferociously fight for your family. And we'll walk through these pretty quickly, too. But we're going to camp out on the first one, longest of all. And that is simply take action. Take action. Year after year, we say that we want to see things change in our lives. That we do want to, I hate that I've got this bad habit that I know I'm putting up, you know, up as more important than Christ because I keep falling back to this. Maybe it's food for comfort, and when you don't feel bad, instead of going to Christ, you go to food. Whatever it is, there's something there, and you know you've been wrestling with it, but year after year, it never goes away. You talk about it, you wallow in depression over it, but you don't do anything about it. This series is to help you do something about it. But you got to be willing. You got to commit that. Maybe I've been meaning to put Him up as Lord of my life in doing something positive, in making sure that I am working to advance His kingdom and to tell other people about Him. There's different areas. I want to encourage you for this series to be praying and thinking about how you're going to take action, how you're going to do something. You're going to participate. You're going to be in a small group. You're going to be here at the 11 o'clock service. There's different ways to participate. In fact, there's a checklist right on your outline there, and I'd like you to look at that checklist for a moment. In the checklist, the first thing there is to sign up for a group. And we've got a map. I'll show you this map. These are the different groups that we have participating. Go ahead and put up that picture for me there. Yeah, there we are. This is our platoon map. Okay, we're following the war theme. These are where our small groups are meeting. I know you can't read that. That's okay. Inside your program, there is a legend for this map. And you've got the details of where and when the groups are meeting. All of the groups that are listed are covering the same material, this God's at War material. And after the service today, we're going to have a meet and greet where all of the leaders are going to stand up by these posters here that correspond to the number that's in your outline, or you can look up there for a visual reference of the one that might be closest to your house. What I want you to do, the first way you can take action, the first thing you can check off your list is to go to a small group leader when this service ends and sign up. Sign up to attend that group. It's a 6-week series, and the first Sunday service that kicks it off, like I said, is October 13th, and then the groups will start meeting after that for 6 weeks. We'll be done by Thanksgiving. You'll have all your false gods dethroned and Jesus on the throne by Thanksgiving. So there you go. These small groups, by the way, I want you to know they're not designed to embarrass or expose anybody. I know if you're sitting here and there is some struggle in your life, you know what it is probably already. God's already been setting it on your heart of what you got to deal with. These groups are not so that we can go around, okay, everybody tell us your deepest and darkest secrets and everything that's wrong with you. That's not what these are designed to do. These small groups are designed to equip you with the weapons and the training to bring back into your life and to expose and destroy these gods in your own life. Now, we are going to be encouraged for accountability relationships and things like that. I'll let the material teach you on that. But I want you to know that these small groups are safe. All right? They're safe. Don't think of them as something that they're not. They're here to help you learn and to grow together with other people. All right? And to create good bonds that maybe will lead to accountability relationships down the road. I hope so. But sign up for a group. That's the first thing. The second thing is to order a war journal. War journal. If you remember the Not a Fan series, we had the Followers Journal, which gave you some daily ideas for prayer and reflection, things to chew on, so that you're getting the most out of this series because you're doing something every day with it. Well, this war journal is the same kind of thing. It has daily parts that will keep you going. Now, you want to get one of these. Here's a picture of it. And the way you can get it, Andy Barba made this so easy for you. They cost $5. That's the cheapest price. You can go to Amazon and get it, but you're going to have to pay for shipping. And, you know, Andy covered the shipping for you. Well, Stoney probably did. But Andy made the decision for your benefit that it would be covered. So it's $5. You don't need that today, by the way. But when you go to a small group, here's how easy it is. When you sign up for a small group today, your leader is going to order a book for you from Andy. All right, so you get to check two items off of your list with one. I don't like that. I think you should have to work a little bit harder to get the book, but Andy loves you guys and wants you to be equipped with everything you need. That's our small groups director, by the way, if you're wondering why I keep talking about this guy, Andy. All right, and then the last thing we want to do is attend the prayer walk. This is the next action we can take. Now, there's going to be other actions, certainly, that come out of the lessons that we go through together, but this is to get us ready, all right, as a family. And so attend our prayer walk that we're going to do, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. We've got these little bags. The prayer walk is going to, for two things. Number one, it's to, obviously, prayer, to pray up this series, to ask the Holy Spirit to just be all through this, and leading us to the center of His will, and for us to be impacted and changed by what we're going to be learning and studying and going through together in this Gods of War series. We also want to pray and invite our neighborhood to come in and benefit from this, because we know that every person, whether they're a believer or not, is better off with Christ on the throne. Obviously, that is the answer. And so we want to go out and invite people. So we've got these little bags that we're going to be putting just on people's doors. By the way, nothing illegal about that. Put that on a person's door. It'll have a little gift in there. There's like a little keychain flashlight and an invite to the services and a little description about what we're doing with the series is going to be on there. And it's just a really cool, nice book or bag. I tried to get one that looked like it came from an Apple store. That's not copyright infringement, though. Like, if I had an orange on there with a bite out of it or something, I'd be getting close. But this is just our logo, so we're good. So we're going to be doing that, and we're meeting at 6 p.m., all right? 6 p.m., and maybe you've never done something like this before. I want to encourage you to take action, to come out. We're going to hit the street walking and praying and putting these on some doors in the neighborhood. At 6, then we're going to come back together after about a half hour for some prayer and some praise time in here, and then we're even going to feed you afterwards, all right? We're going to have dinner after that, so you stick around for dinner and have some fellowship together. You've got you think, oh, well, we got to eat. No, just come, and we'll even feed you while you're here, all right? There'll be something to do for the kids. The teens and the adults are involved, so bring the whole household out. It's designed for your whole household to come out that Wednesday. All right. Well, that is taking action. Commit to take action, because all of the knowledge in the world doesn't do anything for you if you're not doing something about it. And this is how you can start to prepare. Oh, and by the way, for our teens, I want you, this was supposed to be said in the sign up for a group. You don't have a group to sign up for, but we're doing this series on Wednesday nights during the campaign. And so youth, commit to come out for those 6 weeks especially. Of course, I want you every time, just like we want you here every time. But for those 6 weeks especially, make it a point. Get your homework done early, all right? And get out here, because we're going to be going through this together at the teen level as well. All right, and now let's wrap up with our last couple of items here. are ways to fight ferociously. Ferociously for our family. Number two is identify the idols. Identify the idols in your life. You can start that now. We're going to be talking about the different types of things that war for the throne of our heart in the series. But chances are, if you spend some time with the Lord, He's going to already start working on you. And so I want to challenge you to identify those now. I want to challenge you to throw away the fear of dealing with those. Okay? We may choose to hang on in fear that we can't beat them or that we don't want to deal with them because then we got to admit that something else besides Jesus is on the throne of our lives. No, don't do that. Identify anything that's warring for Jesus' spot as number one in your life, and then go for the throat and let's kill these idols and let's dethrone them, all right? It says in Hebrews 12:1, the author says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. If you want to see the spoils that we've been talking about, that relationship with Christ that's unbridled, that addiction's broken, that your family strengthened, all of these things, if you want to see these, you need to take action. Identify those idols, and let's go for the throat and get rid of them. All right, number three on the list. The next thing that you can do is to help each other. We're talking about in the home, doing this together. One of the benefits of doing this series at every level, with adults, with college age group is doing it. They're one of those 15 small groups. The adult small groups, the teens, the kids. The benefit of doing that is that we can talk about these things at the home. And I encourage you to plan to do that. Even today, start talking about it. Hey, did you sign up for this group? Are you going to make sure you're going to youth group? Are you going to come out? Are we all going to go to the prayer walk? Start talking about this as a family and start supporting and encouraging each other through this, all right? And teens, this isn't an assignment for your parents to ask you a million questions. I want what you're learning to be brought to the table in your own home, all right? Talk about it. On the street, when you walk along, when you sit down, when you get up, around the dinner table, and everything Scripture tells us to do. Talk about these things and help each other by having the communication lines open, all right? And then finally, the last thing, number four, set your goals. Set your goals. You need to identify what it is you want to accomplish. Now, we know ultimately what it is, right? I think we've made that clear. Christ, throne, Him on it, okay? That is the clear objective. But what does that look like in your life? What is different in your heart and in your mind and in your home when that happens? Get specific with yourself and write that down. I've even got a spot on your outline here. It says notes, you can talk about them with your family. What does it look like when Christ is on the throne, when you're dethroning the false gods? Or even if Christ is on the throne right now in your life, what are the things that are right there at His feet trying to climb up and get there in your life? What is it you need to guard against? You need to write down and dream and cast vision for this. Because then you know what you're fighting for, and that'll keep you going. All right. Well, the main idea again is to fight false gods for your family's future. Your family's future depends on it. It really does. Joshua said it back there, and we're saying it today, that your family's future depends on who's on the throne of your heart, who's on the throne of your household, who's number one. It all depends on that. Is God number one? And so we're gonna close here in just a moment. And when we do, the small group leaders, they're going to go to their spots. I need to find mine. There it is. Okay. They're going to go to their spots. And even if you've been in a small group for years, or if you've never been in a small group before, you need to sign up today. This is where you do it. All right. And you get the book. It still costs you $5. It's just ordered for you. And you get the nice price. Let's stand together. And Can I ask those of you that are small group leaders, this is how important this is. I don't want somebody to say, oh, they're not there at their spot yet. If you're a small group leader, can you go toward your spot and stand there? You think, man, is this message all just designed to get us to sign up for small groups in this series? Yes, that's exactly what this is. This is a family church meeting, and we're doing family church business, and we're going to be intentional. And I don't want somebody to say, oh, Randy wasn't standing under his sign. Never mind, I'll sign up later. And by that, I mean I'm never going to attend a small group and get the extra encouragement and growth and all the benefits from the study. All right. Get there. If you're not at your spot yet, you're holding everybody up. No, I'm teasing you. All right. Let's pray, and then we've got, I'm even ending at least 2 minutes early by the time I'm done praying. So even if you're like, oh, I needed to go right after the service, you've got 2 minutes to go and sign up for a group, all right? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for our time together here today. I thank you for Jesus, who is Lord, who is Lord and God of this universe. Whether we're putting him up there and recognizing it in our lives or not, he is. He does reign. He is Lord. And even if we don't recognize it, one day we will stand before him and we will confess that he is Lord. Everybody will, because he is. But God, I thank you for the material that we're going to be, I'm excited for the material we're going to be going through in this series, because it's about us recognizing it and putting him up as Lord of our lives so that we can experience what it is to be subject to the King of all the universe and to serve him only. God, I do pray that I pray that every person in here, every single person in here will attend a small group or the youth ministry or the kids ministry or whatever applies to their age group, that they will sign up and that they will attend. And I pray that we will all be here for these 6 Sundays beginning in a couple of weeks. And I pray most of all that your Holy Spirit will be at work and that addictions will be broken, that our lives will change and improve because we're following you, that families will be strengthened because of what you're doing, and that our influence would increase. But most of all, I pray about the vertical issue, that we are destroying any barrier between us and you. Help us to start doing it today by doing these items on our checklist, by talking about it in the home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.